Fighters, today on the Sales Podcast, Steve and I talk about 10 really common mistakes contractors make when selling. And on this episode, we decided to split this into two because we went quite long. In this episode, we're gonna tackle numbers 1 through 5 and dig into those at a little bit deeper level and hopefully help you walk away with something that you can implement right away to get better as a salesperson. Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. And just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Steve, we're back in the saddle. You were just out here in Colorado. For those that don't know, the Queen and I got married and we had a great time. It was good hanging with you and Keller and everybody else. Before we hit record here today, I was like, Steve, last time we recorded, just the two of us, we were like, we brought something up and you said, oh, that'd be a great another episode. And I said, yeah, we'll record that next time. And then we both forgot what it was. So we'll go back and listen and write it down this time. And then we'll talk about that in the near future. But today, Steve, there's some common mistakes that are made in sales. And I did a live a little while ago where I was in rare reaper form, where I was screaming and yelling and foaming at the mouth and stuff. And I'm not going to do that today. We're going to have a calm, civilized, quaint conversation about sales in our late night DJ voice.
Everybody will fall asleep.
Yeah, no shit. But I want to read the 10 things that I shared super quick. And then I asked you to go, all right, which ones do you want to go deeper on for this episode? And I think that'll be interesting because I don't know which ones you're going to do. But so let me burn through these, you guys. And let me just say this. Sales is your number one job. Okay. Nothing happens without a sale. So you got to get this stuff straight. Number one, you lack a clear goal. Most contractors say things, Steve, like, I just try to sell as much as I can. And okay, what's that mean? Right. Number two, not taking consistent action. Sales actions. Number three, poor personal representation, meaning your appearance, your grammar, your tonality. Number four, spending time with the wrong prospects. Number five, talking too much. Number six, focusing on your reasons that people should buy instead of theirs. Number seven, no or inconsistent sales training. Number eight, defending. When you're backed into a corner, you get an objection, you start defending. Number nine, going too technical in the process. And number 10, pouncing. When you see a little opening, I'll just elaborate for people that don't know. It'd be like somebody saying, yeah, the last guy left a mess. And pouncing is, well, we never leave a mess and we swiffer the floors and we vacuum everything and we're amazing and wow, 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 and all that stuff. So Steve, where are we going today?
All right. Well, I could talk about all 10 of them. Let's just start with number one and see how we do, because as soon as you read these out, I know for me and my pea brain of a head exactly what I'm thinking. So lack of a clear goal. I remember when I started the pond business, I wanted to make $1,000 a day. That was a clear goal for me. I wanted to, if I'm going to get in my pickup truck and be the blue collar guy again and go around, dig holes and push rocks, $1,000 a day. And I remember giving the example that, hey, if someone had called me up and said, hey, would you cut my grass? I'd say, yeah, it'd be $1,000 because that's what I need. But if you get your neighbor's grass, I'll do you both for $500 each, which is ridiculous because everybody's, you know, charges $75 around here. Yeah. But the point is, I ain't going if it wasn't going to make me $1,000 a day. And the second thing I started, I started it with an emphasis to sell it one day. Mm-hmm. So I had two goals. While I'm working this thing and building it, I want to make $1,000 a day for myself. That means I work 220 days out of the year. I want to make $220,000 for myself, period.
The key phrase there, the other thing, is for himself. Notice for himself. See, the value that Steve's putting on himself is hey, I'm at least $1,000 a day.
Yeah. And by the end of that, the last four years, I guess I was still working the 220 days. Of course, I work all the other days too, because I'm a business owner, but I was knocking down about $400,000 a year. So I exceeded that goal. But the first year, I made $80,000 my first year, and I worked about 80 days. And it was super clear in my head. And I just wasn't going to go out for less. Number one. Number two, not taking consistent action. This one kills everybody. Mm-hmm. This is doing the mundane crap nobody wants to do. Like consistent. How consistently do you go update your accounting software, i.e. QuickBooks or whatever you use?
Yeah.
Is this an everyday thing you do, an every week thing, an every month thing? Or do you dread it and just hand your freaking accountant a shoebox full of receipts and hope they can figure it out? Because consistently, call them leads back. Mm-hmm. I got a rule in my head. No one's going 24 hours. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if they call me at 8 o'clock at night, I got till 8 o'clock the next night to call them back. I normally knock it all out literally within an hour or two.
Yep.
But I never let them go 24 hours.
Well, you know, in this consistent action thing, you know, a lot of people they get hung up on the sales goal. I got to sell 1 million this year, but they don't break it down and reverse engineer. What are the actions required on a consistent daily basis? They're going to move you closer to that. Well, in order to sell 1 million, you need whatever your average jobs. If it's $100,000 a job, you need 10 jobs. Well, then you got to figure out what's my closing rate when a lead comes in, right? And that'll tell you how many leads that you need. And then you got to go, okay, now what are some things that I personally have control over? This is a big part, big thing here, Steve. Neither one of us, none of us can make anyone buy. All we can do is control our attitude and our own personal actions. That's it. And I just see so many people not hitting their sales goals because they don't know what these clear, consistent activities need to be. I call them bacon-making activities, like prospecting. It's returning the phone calls. It's, you know, I see a guy when I was a painting contractor, I see Steve's remodeling drive by and I'm like, I don't know him. I'd literally pick up the phone and I'd call at least five people a day off their trucks and go, hey, is this Steve? Yeah. You build stuff. I paint stuff. I thought we should know each other. And I start a relationship. It's business development. It's, you know, sitting down and tracking your leads or putting them in your CRM and all these things, you guys, that when they, like Steve, you brought up the shoebox with the accountant, right? Like that's like the worst case scenario for anything in your business with your CRM, sales tracking, you know, QuickBooks, whatever it is. Just spend 10, 15 minutes a day at the end of the day, updating everything, check the box, and you're good. All right.
And it's such little chunks of time. It's 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there consistently versus an all-day project at the end of the month. And just to put a finer point on this, when you and I first met, this is, if you hadn't heard the story, I basically was on stage speaking to about 800 pond guys about how to run a business. And then as soon as I got off stage, the first guy that get in my face was Tom Reber. And thank God that happened, because that was a spark we both needed to like totally change the trajectory of our lives, to tell you the truth. Yep. But if you remember, part of my presentation is I laid out month by month my game plan.
Yep.
This is what I do every January, every February. And you talk about consistency. We did it consistently every single month. These are the things we did. And you could go to my newest employee and go, what do you do in April? What do you do in January? What do you do in December? And they would know. So you talk about consistency. That's a big one.
Well, dude, I remember calling you one day in one of the first full years we were hanging out. And I go, what are you up to? And he goes, oh, me and the boys, your crew, we're all, and it was your off season and you paid your guys to work. They came in, you guys were stuffing your envelopes that you send out your prepayment letters to all your customers.
Yep.
Like guys, it's, you know, you want to lose weight. You got to burn so many calories. You got to track your calories, or if you're in the macros and the protein and all that other garbage or whatever it is, like you have to stay consistent with this stuff. You don't lose weight by working out 8 hours on a Saturday. Okay. You lose weight by working out 20 minutes a day and tracking your calories, or 30 or 40 minutes or an hour, whatever the hell it is. Okay. And to your point, Steve, don't let this stuff pile up on you, because then it never gets done. So, and you don't create any momentum either.
Correct. And to put the finer point on that consistency thing, when you brought up every year, I would bring all my people in, all my guys, and we'd stuff envelope all the maintenance contract. That was Super Bowl Monday. Every Super Bowl Monday, we knew what we were doing.
Wow, that's cool, man.
I have a Super Bowl party every year. They'd all come to it. And Super Bowl Monday, that's what we did all day long. We stuffed envelopes, had a kick-ass lunch, and that never not happened.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 Series Windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors, probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors, like Anderson 400 Series Windows. Request a quote today at AndersonWindows.com.
Number three, poor personal representation, appearance, grammar, tonality, everything. Like, it's almost like sometimes, okay, you pull up to the stoplight and there's a guy down and out begging for money. Do you make eye contact with him or not? You don't, generally, because you're afraid it's like anything else. Like your dog, if you make eye contact, they'll be all over you. Well, they normally look grungy, they're dirty. I don't want them around me. I mean, I feel bad for them, and God knows I wouldn't want to switch with them, but I don't want them around me. And that's how some contractors look. They show up with no lettering on their trucks. I don't know who's coming in. They have no uniform on whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They just come up to your door. Sometimes they like flick their cigarette out in your lawn as they're walking up to their front door and exhale right on you. I mean, all these little subconscious, unwritten things can convince someone to like you or not like you. And that's what you're trying to be, professional and likable. So they want you to come to their home and do their project.
My pet peeve, and listen, somebody joked the other day, they're like, oh, you're like the grammar police. I'm like, I'm not the grammar police. Like, I have plenty of typos and stuff. I could proofread something, Steve, 75 times and still have a typo in it, right? Like, I just, you know, but like, I use a capital letter, you know, I throw a comma in now and then, you know, things like that. And I just see some of the correspondence that some of these guys take a screenshot of their text or something, and the tonality that, like, somebody's like, oh, I thought you were going to come out for free. And then it's like, no punctuation, misspelled words. And then the tone is like, well, I don't run out for free and waste my time with people that aren't serious, you know? So you need to send me a picture. You know, like, it's just, they're right out of the gate going, fuck you, you know? And that's what I mean by tonality and grammar. It's like, guys, act like you, Steve, what's that commercial? I'm thinking of this because I think it was your, because of your knee, some guy's going in for knee surgery or something on this commercial. And the doctor walks in and he has no confidence, and he walks in and they're like, so how, you know, doc, how do you think the surgery is going to go today? And he's like, hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really like, sure.
You know, guys, you got to go in there, be in the part, you know, go in and look the part and smell good and brush your damn teeth take a shower before you go to work. So you're not walking up to somebody's house with bedhead, you know, and all these different things, guys. They all either add or build trust with your prospects, or they take it away. Okay. And every little thing we do or don't do matters. You got to pay attention to that.
It does. And that is the reason I don't do much exchange through emails and none through texting. If someone wants to discuss a project, we're going to do it over the phone. Because I can't get tonality, except if you used all caps or something like that, through just written words. I need to talk to someone so I can feel what they're feeling.
Yep.
So I just don't go that route. Number four, spending time with the wrong prospects. This is the hardest thing to the second hardest thing. We'll get to the hardest thing at the end. We just feel like as contractors, if they call us, they're ours. They should be ours. What if they're just total jerks? Do you really want to be at their house? What if they just beat you up the whole time, try to lower price, try to get something for free? You know, the nightmare customer from hell. it is so liberating the first time you can actually fire them.
Yeah.
Because not everybody, you don't want everybody. In fact, maybe this was a topic we were supposed to talk about this week anyway, because not everybody's going to be your prospect. You just want to fill your calendar year with your kind of people at your kind of profit margins with your kind of jobs. That's it. And they're not going to be for everybody. And I know for me, because I was the most expensive pond guy by far around. I was the Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that if there's many, you know, the total sales of Walmart is probably 10 to 20 fold what the total sales of Nordstrom is, because there's more poor people buying shit from Walmart than there are rich people buying stuff from. So it makes sense that you might have to go through 10 leads, Walmart leads, to get to one Nordstrom's lead. But that's the old Babe Ruth, you know, you just wait for your pitch. Just wait for your pitch. If you're going to swing at every goddamn ball, you're going to strike out and be done.
Yeah.
So a little patience and have the balls to say no to someone.
There was a stat I read. I was just looking for the article. I can't find it quickly now, but there was a sales statistics thing. So it was all this data and research, one of these big fancy companies that does that across the board for the sales industry. And the stat was about over 56% of prospects that you're spending your time with are not a good prospect. So you get 100 leads, you guys, at least half of those leads are not going to be a good fit for you. And so you have to have a process. That's our Shin Fu that we use and that we coach on to weed through those people in a respectful way and have a quick conversation before you spend all that windshield time and type. I mean, just the other day, this guy's like, I just can't keep up with all the bids I got to type up. And I'm like, well, how are you pre-qualifying people? You know, well, they have a pulse and they live in my neighborhood, Tom. Okay, well, then chances are you're typing up at least half the bids you're typing up. You should never be typing up. Okay, at least half. We kind of have an unwritten, unofficial rule that seems to stir people up. But I always tell people, Steve, that if somebody doesn't already know what it's going to cost, I'm not typing it up. Like, I'm not, like, if we're not having a conversation, yeah, Steve, this could be a $12,000 project roughly. And you're like, okay, that's cool. I am not putting a finger on a keyboard or pen to paper just to send you the same freaking information without knowing what's going to happen next. Because that's how so many contractors waste their time. So anyway.
So I'm renovating a lady's pond and she wants to know about the stream, and the stream was another 10 grand. And she goes, oh, you know, I need to talk to my accountant about that, which is a red flag right off the bat. That's but true. Why don't you go ahead, type it up, give me a proposal. And then after I talk to him, I'll give you an answer. I'm like, you know, does it make better sense if you know the number, it's 10 grand. That you talk to your accountant first. And then if he says you can do it, I'll happily write you up a proposal. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we're just killing a tree for nothing. And she goes, well, that makes sense.
Now,
I'm a ballsy guy because I have been liberated to know that I don't want everybody. I'm interviewing them more than they're actually interviewing me, or just as much. Because I've had people accept my bids and stuff. And I have to decline because I know I would have to be on the job site because they'll tear my foreman a new one because he's not as tough as me. It would just ruin him. He's, you know, Mike's a nice guy, man. They'd go out there, just beat him up, beat my crew up. And I'm not doing that. It's not worth making 10 grand to beat my crew up for a week.
100%.
I'm just not going to do it. And if you ever question that, you ask yourself, how much money am I actually going to make from this job? And the answer for most people, normally like 5 grand, is $5,000 worth getting beat up for 3 days? You know, it's just not.
Yeah. And pissing your team off and all that. All right. Number five, talking too much.
So I told you that the second hardest thing was to let people go. These people that aren't going to be your clients. Well, the hardest thing for me by far was STFU, learning how to just shut the fuck up. Literally. That my sales went tenfold just as soon as I started to stop talking. Just learn to ask a question like, how can I help you? And then zip it up.
Yeah.
And And you got to recognize, well, I'll get to that about the going technical.
Yeah.
Later on. But the point is, and that's training. We train a lot with that. Ask questions and shut up. One of our members many years ago, Charlie, you know him, he said, all you really have to do is come up with 10 seconds of courage. And that 10 seconds of courage is actually silence after you ask a question. Like, for instance, okay, we've been through the whole project. What would you like to do next? Now, you can't see it, but Tom's counting down on his fingers. You know, we're watching each other.
10 seconds.
It's killing me, the 10 seconds. But that homeowner, they will fill the air. And normally they'll fill the air with the things you want to hear. So just don't talk to me.